All right, we're going to close the hearing and open the work session.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I move House Bill Senate Bill 1025 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
We have a motion to move Senate Bill 1025 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any objection?
We need
discussion. Roll call. Please.
Representative Gardner, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Canoe?
Aye.
Representative Cruz?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Piercy?
Aye.
Chair Loken?
Aye.
This bill, having received its constitutional majority, is referred to on to the floor with a due pass.
We do, yes.
Closing the matter on 1025.
You need a carrier.
Oh, and the carrier. Let Representative Gardner be the carrier because he laughed the loudest during this.
Thank God.
Oh, I'd love to. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I return the gavel to you.
I love Gresh now.
Okay, so now we are on where on the schedule?
Yeah, let's go back to 2088 and get that home.
I want to see where we are. Is
3329. We did have the public hearing on that, and it was learned that we do need a technical amendment to address the vendor's concern, and the gentleman, David Cooper, from the lottery had also suggested an amendment, so we need a final work session on that.
Okay.
On Tuesday.
And 2088, too.
We've had the public hearing, reviewed the -5 amendments, Madam Chair, and here's ready to going to work
action.
Could I see that? We made these conceptual amendments because the words were superfluous and not useful.
Germane to this.
Not germane. So, we need upon authority to do that.
Thank you. This does not go then to Ways and Means.
No, it does not, Madam Chair. Margaret, do you... Bob, do you want to come up and explain why this doesn't go to Ways and Means?
Well, we're talking about 2088, so we should
open the work session.
Reopen the work session, maybe, I don't know, on 2088.
Now, Chairman, for the record, I am Bob Refine, Director of Housing and Community Services for the State of Oregon. The question you asked is why should it not go to Ways and Means?
I didn't know if it needed to or not. If there's a fiscal impact, I need an explanation.
Again, the bill that you have in front of you, 2088, is the substantive discussion of what the intent of our budget bill has implied in it. Unfortunately, the budget bill is very short of the narrative of what the intent of the livability initiative is. So this is really more of the policy discussion relative to a portion of our budget. I would suggest to the chairman to preempt the chance that this legislation might pass without funding, which would then place it in statutes without any authority, wouldn't make a lot of sense either.
That was a little of my concern.
But what I would suggest would be is you'd move it through the floor for the House and move it to the subsequent committee on the Senate side, and then have your committee staff ask that then the bill be referred to the Ways and Means. That way, if in Senator Hannon's deliberation of our budget bill, if he does move the bill out, he can then accompany it with this piece of policy. If not, then it doesn't get on the books for some questions to be asked later.
Okay, that's good, and because I knew that you had it in the budget, but how to get it all together. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
We are in work session?
We are.
I'd like to move the -5 amendment.
All right. Discussion?
As conceptually amended.
Okay. We have a quorum, so if there's no discussion, -5 amendments are a move, no objection. And do we have a move?
Madam Chair, I'd like to move House Bill 2088 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Discussion? Not, please call the roll. those who are absent will give a chance if they get back to also vote and make it back in.
Representative Gardner, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Canoe?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Piercy?
Aye.
Chair Lowe?
Aye. All right, having received constitutional number of votes,
thank
the House Bill 2080 is passed, amended, and the work session is closed.
Carrier.
And the carrier. If there are no... Oh, will you? Feel comfortable doing that. Okay. I'm going to wait until we have one. And, so, and besides, we can't just pass them anyway.
That's right.
Okay. Next thing is, we have done 1025. Have we done 183?
That's
all right. Let's open the hearing on Senate Bill 183. We do have some other bills on the session or on work session here, but I've received there are some amendments coming on those, and we have delayed those till Tuesday by special request. So we won't hear those today in work session. This will be the last bill we'll hear today. All right. Your comments, please, Pat.
Madam Chair and committee members, Senate Bill 183 is another lottery-related bill, which would allow the State Lottery Commission to adopt rules to establish procedures for payment of prizes to ticket owners whose winning ticket or share is lost, damaged, or destroyed during validation by a lottery game retailer. Provides that the rules adopted by lottery commission shall apply to claims submitted to state lottery on or after November 1, 1996. The bill came to your committee from the Senate on a 29-0 vote. There is no fiscal impact, and the revenue statement has been provided for.
Madam Chair, this is a no-brainer.
We'll go back.
It doesn't allow for the $1 million ticket I lost last week, does it?
No.
Oh, the one we shared?
The one we bought together.
We have David Hooper here. Incidentally, Representative Cruz, we will allow a vote on the bill you missed. Morning.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, for the record again, my name is David Hooper, public. Ms. Wick has really provided the summary of the bill. There have been instances where a player has won a prize, gone to the retailer, had that prize validated, and the prize was over $600. Prizes over $600 have to be claimed in Salem, either in person or through the mail. And the machine, the register, issues a slip that says claim prize at lottery. In a few instances, seven to be exact, the clerk has handed the player the go to Salem slip, kept the winning ticket, thrown it away. The player winds up in Salem, hands us the claim at Salem slip, and we say, that's great, where's the ticket? And they say, this is all the clerk gave me. And the law is very clear. Without a ticket, you can't pay the price. This is a good statute. I mean, we need to ensure the security and integrity of the lottery. You cannot have people walking in and saying, you know, gee, I know I won $1 million, but I just can't find the ticket. And yet we
won't be able to do that.
Are you going to especially watch this committee?
Well, I won't go there. Because of the technology that is in place, we can indeed go back and say, yes, you purchased that ticket when you say you did. and we can verify through our central system that you actually did run that ticket through the retailer's location when you said you did. In fact, the clerk says, yep, I remember the guy. I remember $1,000 prize that stood out, but I didn't know I was supposed to bring back the ticket. So we have the means of verifying that it is indeed a valid claim, and we've adopted rules to do that. And really, this is a matter of fairness. We have had players come in, and as you can imagine, their disappointment when the lottery by law must deny a prize of $1,000 to $1,500. And these people feel it's immensely unfair, and we have to agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
So we would like this change of statute that would give the ability to the commission to adopt rules for this very narrow exception.
Mr. Lowe, with the money that you save on litigation expenses, will you be training the clerks about bearer bonds?
You're quite right. These are bearer instruments until they're claimed. And I mean, we do have 3,300 retailers, and the fact that we've only had 7 of these instances over the years, I think underscores how good a job we do training our retailers. However, there is high turnover in that industry, and we need to make provisions for those rare cases when this does happen.
Question, is there a way that you can verify then? How can you verify the winner if he comes in with a other than, you know, I suppose you have
this
your
would
standard
be,
verifications of identity.
Yes, and this is, you know, one of the issues that we would need to work out in rule. And what we would do, again, people would have to sign an affidavit claiming that this is what happened. The state police would go out and actually interview the clerk and say, you recall this happening. Again, we have all the information within our central system about the ticket being sold, about the ticket being run through that retail location. We would, as a matter of rule, not pay that prize until the last day that it was eligible to be claimed. In other words, people have a year for an online ticket to come claim their prize. And so we would still hold that ticket for a year to make sure nobody else came forth with that ticket or tried to make a claim on that prize. If that were to happen, we've got state police and go and help sort that out, interview the different people, how did you come in possession of this ticket, so forth and so on. So we're very cautious about opening this door where somebody without a ticket could make a claim for a prize. We don't want to create that scenario.
Yeah,
but I think our rulemaking and our contractual relationship with the state police will help to make sure fraud was not
there. Right, because I think that would be a very critical.
Absolutely.
People, you know, they swipe one another's visas and driver's license and everything else. So.
And we would not pay this prize until no one else has come forth within the claim period.
Sure. Any questions?
Yeah.
Yes, Representative.
Madam Chair, thank you. You said there were 7 instances, and I noticed in this testimony here that the 7 prizes totaled $7,700, and we're making it retroactive, so you can give those people their money then.
That's correct.
Were there any before 96?
None that I'm aware of. I'm certain that this has happened in the past prior to 96. But it really didn't become an issue to us until that time when, you know, one player said, you know, by God, this is unfair. And we agreed with them that, you know, statute says without a ticket, you can't pay the prize. And, you know, the guy understood that, but he still wasn't very happy. He wasn't mad at us, but he felt that he'd somehow been deprived of something that was rightfully his, and we had to agree. We've had these other instances, and, it, you know, finally said, this has got to be addressed. You want to make it retroactive.
All right. Let's close the hearing on Senate Bill 183, and we'll open the work session. And
Chairman, I move passage of Senate Bill 183 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
All right. Representative Close, we're on Senate Bill 183. And I'm sorry, Ms. the testimony, but we have a bill here before us, and if is there any discussion? All right. If not, will the clerk call a roll?
Representative Quills, how do you vote?
Can you come back to me last?
Representative Cano, how do you vote?
Aye.
Representative Crim?
Aye.
Representative Lowe?
Aye.
Representative Piercy?
Aye.
Chair Loken?
Aye.
Representative
Quills? Aye.
All right. You have the proper number of votes. The bill is passed. And we need a carrier. And, President Cano?
Apparently so.
This is the work session on Senate Bill 183. Thank you all.
No,
and we will now adjourn our meeting.
You just want to let folks...
Excuse me. We will not adjourn our meeting. Am I out of the... Can I do that?
Sure. With the consent of your committee.
All right.
Sure.
Consent.
Sure.
All right. So we'll, we have some bills that President Cruz and President Close missed.
Mm-hmm.
And Representative Cruz, the one you missed and the one you both missed was House Bill 2088. That's the housing bill. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have your votes on that. I don't know if it changes the, this is from the Housing Committee. They have the dash five amendments. Give you a moment to take a look there. And the rules are relaxed. And I move to suspend the rules.
Madam Chair, I move that we suspend the rules to allow Representative Cruz to vote on the bill she missed and Representative Close to vote on the bill she missed.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right.
Where is this bill going?
This bill goes from here to the floor. It does not go to Ways and Means. It does not have a price tag attached to it at this point. In the budget for housing, it's part of the housing budget, and can go to the Senate from the House floor and then to Ways and Means to join up with the housing budget.
My concern over this was that it's not an approved budget yet.
No, I realize.
And I
realize that. That's why I queried.
Yeah, well, and my concern still is, was and still is, that we're passing a substantive bill to kind of move a budget rather than the budget moving on merit. And if you ask me for my vote for that reason, I'll vote no.
Well, I don't know what we're asking for your vote for, whether it's on merit or... it was a substantive, to have a substantive discussion of the bill, yes. And to hear it.
Well, and I understand,
yeah.
Chair, but for the reasons just stated, I will vote
okay.
No.
All right. And Representative Close?
So you're, just to clarify, are you saying there's an amount that we put in this fund and they'll use the interest, but we don't know what that amount will be that's going to be put in this fund? Is that it?
Well, there is a stated amount, I'm sure, in the budget for this whole program, but it has not been decided yet until we get through the budgeting process whether that will be approved or not.
Can you tell me how much?
And the question why I brought Mr. Repine up is to say this doesn't have a fiscal impact. There's no money tied to it, knowing that it was in the budget. So his suggestion was that if it goes to the floor and goes to the Senate and then gets through committee, and that it would be referred to the Ways and Means, but it has had a substantive discussion by that time in both houses on the merit.
But on the money,
but the money...
The notes I have is $25 million, is the
estimate.
But not as a... where do you see that? The 20
I wrote million. That down when Mr. Repine testified
okay.
before.
It isn't in our in
it's
here.
It's part of his budget, $25 million?
Yeah, it is in his budget. I'm not sure exactly, but it's about that.
Yeah, I'm going to vote no.
right.
Madam Chair, for the record, I may want to not reconsider my vote for the purposes of getting it to the floor as a courtesy, but I might, when we get on the floor, I might want to look at some notes and numbers, talk with my colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I may not vote favorably on the floor, but we'll have to see. I don't know.
All right. All right. We'll mark that down as a possible no on the floor. And we'll see where it goes from here.
Madam Chair, for the record also, it's not that I am opposed to the direction this is taking.
Yeah.
My preference would have been to send this immediately to Ways and Means to be considered with the budget with legislative approval.
Well, we checked into that, and it was not requested to go to Ways and Means.
No, I understand that, but we have, as a committee, we can send things.
Yes,
we can.
Mm-hmm. Gee, Liz, maybe we should have.
We could bring that bill back and reconsider it to the committee.
You know, maybe
they want to do that.
Yeah, you know, let's bring it back.
Maybe that would be
the committee, and I don't know.
It's an awkward way to handle it. I agree.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah.
You know.
And I understand, you know, the concern about having a substantive discussion, because when you put something in Ways and Means, that doesn't always happen. And so, I know you. Happy if I do that.
The bill is a good idea.
I
think the bill itself is a good idea, and I'm not terribly uncomfortable with the way we're doing it. It's at $25 million, and we still haven't had a real discussion about budget yet, so.
Can we do that? Do we have to do it right now?
I don't know if we can do it that way without the other members
who
voted on it already.
Here, she's going to change her mind.
If I stated possible reconsideration, would that hold things up? I mean, no vote would that do. Because otherwise, if passed out of committee, you have to drop it.
But if someone serves notice of reconsideration.
Possible reconsideration? That holds it up? Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what it takes, then I would certainly do that. So.
It's just that it's a great idea.
That's not the issue for me.
I agree that we ought to know what we're talking about dollar wise. So. Our job.
Thank you.
Oh yeah.
Don't I have a way with words?
Been a ragged.
Yeah, it has been ragged.
And you have to be on the.
Well, for possible reconsideration, you have to be on the vote. So, I guess what I was saying, if we want to bring it back, I said I would vote no for the purpose of possible reconsideration.
Half of our committee.
Well, to do that, it only takes two no votes. I'd be Representative Close and myself if she concurred. That we voted no with intent of possible reconsideration, I think that would hold it in committee. And
is that correct, Pat? So we could.
If Representative Close would concur with that, then we.
Are we all in agreement on that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Let's do that.
Representative Piercy, you ought to be hearing this.
I know, I'm confused. Yeah.
Well, there is. Concerned about how we're handling hospital
28. That's the audience, how they feel.
Everybody raise your hand.
This is an awkward way to handle this, and that's why I called Mr. Repine forward, because it's in the budget in Ways and Means. His intent was to have a substantive discussion in committee, because sometimes you don't get that in Ways and Means,
mm-hmm.
and it's not, and that's true all the time.
Right.
So that was his concern, and I don't mind having a substantive discussion when there's time and we can do it. And
Mr. Repine requested that we go back to it again. Is that what I'm
saying?
No, I'm not saying. I'm finished.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And but his concern was that we have a substantive on both houses.
Right.
Before sending it down to
right.
me. He probably knows how these things work, having been a mm-hmm. chair of Ways and Means. And So before it died, he, or be, hoping it would not die in committee, and he would rather have it go move along. It is awkward, though, when you're working on a bill and then pass it through, knowing that it's in a budget that has not yet been approved.
I guess I feel like we do all the time pass things down that we think are, we're okay with the policy. We don't know if there's adequate dollars, and that's the ways and means decision needs to be made. So from my perspective, I'm comfortable with them continuing to have a conversation about the policy on the Senate side, and then having it sent to Ways and Means, and then they can look at it in the context of the whole budget and make a decision about whether that's where we want to spend the money or not. I think there'll be many things that are done in Ways and Means that we think are good ideas. Certainly, Representative Cruz, because we have a pile of them in our,
yes,
in our committee. And they'll be sent down there with the notion that if we could afford it, we would do it. But we don't know when we get the whole budget.
Well, that was my thought in having a hearing on it, was to have a good discussion. Now, but we have real concerns about it here.
Madam Chair, basically, Representative Christie, while you were gone, it was opened back up for Representative Close and I to vote. My desire would have been to have it go from here to Ways and Means directly. We both ended up voting no for possible reconsideration. It's up to the it's the committee's pleasure whether it goes before to Ways and Means. We're just expressing our desire at this point. If the full committee was here, we could have this discussion now and decide. It's not something I necessarily wanted to vote no on as far as policy. It was more of a no vote on procedure at this point. And it was a tough vote to do, but, you know, as you know, the bills that we have in Human Resources, we're sending directly to Ways and Means because I think that's the appropriate way to do it.
We could serve notice of reconsideration and not
That would be the committee's pleasure.
And not reconsider.
Right.
Kind of query and see where we're going and see we can make a decision.
Madam Chair, my possible reconsideration will stand, and then it'll be the committee's pleasure.
All right. And then Bob Montgomery will be here in CC as well. So that might be a more clean way to handle it. I can see real possibilities there. And then, I have to close a... What do I close? Anything on this? I have two more bills here we want to get votes on from Representative Close.
Commissioner Sloan has made the motion that Representative Close be allowed to vote on.
Yeah. Okay. I thought we already voted on that. And so you missed on 2876.
Yeah.
That was the one about having tort liability limitation for volunteers who serve on apprenticeship committees.
I was here for that one.
Okay, so you're okay on that. And did you vote on 1025? Maybe 1025. And that was to authorize directors of legislative service agencies to enter into contracts without formal action by appointing authorities. And I didn't hear the testimony on that. So
let me summarize. It codifies current practice, and it's just lawyers from bugging them.
Yeah.
I'll be an eye.
All right. So
that's a legal term.
That takes care of it. So now we're all voted who are here. And that closes the meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate that.
Thank you,
Madam Chair.
Yes, thank you. Representative Lowe, you...